This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Well, as we've reported, it's hot, as if you needed us to report that. But to get your mind off the air quality alerts and high humidity, let us transport you out to the beautiful summer resorts of Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. And for real relief from the heat, imagine that you're going out there in November.
It's cold. It's gray. White caps are flecking the dark seas, and the ferries have cut back. So the islands are on their own, and as one writer once put it, they are bleak but beautiful in their battened-down autumnal phase.
Yet here in the off-season, when most off-islanders think there isn't much to do, the residents of Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket prepare themselves for the biggest moment of the season.
A high school football game.
Three, Captain James Hale. Number 4, Ted Bennett. And number 50, your king, Jarrett Campbell.
They've traveled across the water in hats, gloves, and scarves to stand for the national anthem.
What so proudly we hail.
To cheer for the Vineyarders or the Whalers.
When you see the Whalers coming, you better step aside, because a lot of teams didn't and a lot of teams died.
It's the Island coming, Cup. Here's Nantucket native Bill Santos.
It's a big rivalry, always was. And over the years, it's still a good rivalry. You know, it's a sort of a friendly, but very competitive. And
a rivalry that's more than a rivalry. It's a 50-year-old tradition that pulls Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard closer together than pushes them apart. Here are two islands in winter, both with centuries of history that, in a way, are relived year after year on those cold November days when the Whalers crash helmets with the Vineyarders. Writer James Sullivan followed the two teams and tells us their story and that of the islands in his new book, Island Cup. Two teams, 12 miles of ocean, and 50 years of football rivalry. James Sullivan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us first, this rivalry has been going on for 50 years. What made you want to spend an entire season with the two teams?
Well, I'll tell a short story about how I got involved with the book. In the year 2009... This amazing, quirky rivalry, a lot of fun games over the years, dominance on both sides throughout the history of the rivalry, was on a real downward spiral. And in the year 2009, during the football season, the rivalry game actually got canceled for a number of reasons. One being that Nantucket's sort of perennially overachieving football team had finally sort of hit rock bottom. They were amazing and had won played in a huge number of state Super Bowl championship games over the years. But they had a coach for 45 years who was on his way out. The program had suddenly hit pretty much rock bottom. And that combined with economic issues, the school systems were having a lot of struggles. In fact, at one point during the rivalry, the two teams flew in private jets from one island to the other when the economy was good. Obviously, in 2009, the economy was not good. So for a number of reasons, including Nantucket's troubles with the football program and the economy, the game wasn't happening. So I went out and talked to people on both islands, wrote a story for the Boston Globe. I'm a contributor to the Globe. And it turned into a page one story. And the story was essentially about how distraught both the year-round residents of both islands were at not having this amazing game to look forward to. So the game, long story short, the game came back the following year, and that was the year that I followed.
So tell it, the reason why the book that you've written is so fascinating is because, I mean, you talk about that season that you followed, the Whalers and the Vineyarders, and obviously all the people who make up the coaching staff, key residents on the island, and the players themselves. But it really is also so the story of these two islands, of Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. So can you tell us, what did you find out about why this football game in November is so important to them?
I think the main reason, I keep going back to one line that one man from the Vineyard said to me at one point. He said, you know, everybody thinks we're all Kennedys out here. And if you're from Nantucket, you could say everybody thinks we're all Fortune 500 CEOs out here. But the fact of the matter is that the people who live on the islands and the year-round and the people who put their kids through the school systems and potentially put their boys through the football programs are the cops and the teachers and the supermarket managers and the the bartenders and restaurant managers. They're working-class people. And so over the years, due in large part to two sort of, local legend coaches, one on each island, the football program has come to stand for those year-round people as, an emblem of their sort of their perseverance during the winter months when it gets a little rough and desolate on those two islands, and it's not the summer playground that we think of when we think of Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket.
Perseverance is the word.
Absolutely, yes.
In the middle of winter out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because as the crow flies, it's actually not that far from mm-hmm. Cape Cod or the rest mm-hmm. of the mainland, but it might as well be a world away.
Well, and the people who live on the two islands very often, when they come to the mainland, they call it America, as if they're not part of, they're not quite part of America if you live on those two islands. It's quite a distance when you consider the ferry trip that you've got to take to get to the mall even,
Well, so tell us about, you were saying how the people who live there year-round are the folks who work there. They are sort of the hard-bitten mm-hmm. native Nantucket residents and Martha's Vineyard residents. In the book, you also write about how if you look at the roster of the players on each team, you see names mm-hmm. that reflect the true nature of who lives on these islands today and also who lived there, when the first white residents, in most cases, mm-hmm. came centuries ago.
Right.
Can you tell us
there
about
are names that do go back centuries on those two islands. Fishing families from centuries ago that have remained. And as far as the football teams go, I mean, both sides tend to have generational names that pop up that you recognize from the successful teams on either island from 15 years ago and 30 years ago and 50 years ago. I mean, on the Vineyard, the football stadium is named after the coach in 1960, whose two sons played in the 70s and were, star players on the team, one of whose sons played in the 90s and started for the team. I mean, both sides have the Arujos and the McCarthys. I mean, there's names that pop up on both islands, the Aloisis, that are sort of like little football dynasties at the high school level on both islands.
You write about how Dick Coffin coached the Nantucket football team throughout the 1950s, and he's a direct descendant of Tristram Coffin, who in the 17th century was one of the first to live on Nantucket.
Yeah, the Coffin family was absolutely one of the first white families to go out and populate the island.
Mm. Right. So this is really interesting to me because as the rest of the nation sort of learned about Texas football in Friday mm-hmm. Night Lights, I found out through your book that this Island Cup, this rivalry was between Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket was actually the original inspiration for Buzz Bissinger's great book, Friday Night Lights.
Exactly. And oddly enough, I did not find that out until after I began the book project. I worked on the story for the Globe. Met this legendary coach that I mentioned earlier. Nantucket had the same coach for 45 years named Vito Capizzo. Amazing character, just an amazing human being, a unique character, very much an old school football coach, actually played at Alabama for Bear Bryant. He was like the 105th guy on the practice squad, but he played for Bear Bryant, and he coached like Bear Bryant at the high school level. When I first met him, he said to me, Buzzy Bissinger was going to write about me. And I said, come on, Vito, tell him, you're kidding, right? And he said, no, actually, as it turned out, and I called Buzz Bissinger to confirm it. Buzz Bissinger grew up in New York City, summered on Nantucket, knew about the Nantucket-Martha's Vineyard rivalry from his childhood, noticed a story in The New Yorker in 1984, all the way back in 1984, sort of pointing to this rivalry as a uniquely quirky one. A big feature story that The New Yorker ran, and had it in his head for several years that he would write the full-length book version of this story. Ultimately, what Bissinger told me was that he felt like it would be too tough of a sell to get people to believe that the working-class people of these two posh, resort communities would put up such a great rivalry. So he ended up, scouring the nation for someplace else to base his rivalry, and he found Texas.
He found Texas. So, right. Well, I'm glad that you decided to re-find the islands. Listeners, we are talking about the Island Cup. It's a half-century-long storied rivalry between the high school football teams of Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. So have you maybe played in the Island Cup or witnessed it? And what do you think is the driving force behind the rivalry between these two islands? What is it about life in the winter on an island off the coast of Massachusetts that makes it a special place to form these kind of rivalries? And if you've played on teams or experienced this kind of situation where you've got a rivalry with your next door neighbor, next town over, is that the kind of thing that brings you closer to your neighbor or maybe farther apart? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guest is James Sullivan. He's author of Island Cup. And James, if you could just stand by for a second, I'd like to introduce two more people into the conversation briefly. Their names are Frances Kartunen. She's author of The Other Islanders, People Who Pulled Nantucket's Oars. She's an ethnohistorian and joins us today from Nantucket. Frances Kartunen, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. How are you today?
Very fine. Also with us is Lindsay Lee. She's an oral history curator at the Martha's Vineyard Museum. Lindsay Lee, welcome to Radio Boston to you.
Thank you for having me here.
And we should say that you were the person who kindly gave us that wonderful football sound of a previous 1999 Island Cup that we heard at the top of the segment. It was great. So let me just start with you. You've been to these games. Why is it that you think this annual November meeting, which is, you know, on the surface, is just a high school football game, why is it so important to the people of Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard?
I think, you know, we each one of us likes to have a dream and some goal that we're trying to strive for. This is a great one. You know, it gives the students something to focus on, and the parents can get in on it too. So it's you know, I think there's been the islands, although they're near each other, are very separate islands, and yet people often lump them together. I think I've been to Nantucket twice, and I've lived here for over 60 years. And, you know, I think there was a relationship during the whaling era where vineyarders would sail on Nantucket boats and Nantucketers would sail on vineyard whaling ships. But on the whole, there's no other way that we relate. But we have that that closeness of both being islands. Mm-hmm. I think there's something very special about being an island. And so this is a wonderful kind of meeting of energies that that happens each year.
Frances Kartunen, does it feel the same way on Nantucket? I mean, the Whalers are a powerhouse of a football team.
Well, I'm a little handicapped because so much of this developed during the years that I was at the University of Texas. And so it's a great legend here that I came back home to. But I have to say, I'm one of the few people of my cohort, or maybe in general, a Nantucketer who has spent some different time on Martha's Vineyard. And they are very different physically and in terms of how far, much further out at sea Nantucket is. One thing we've often thought is there needs to be something besides the football rivalry. And at one point, several of us were trying to set up other kinds of visits so that we could appreciate the fact that we have similar histories and we have stories to tell each other.
Oh, that's very interesting. Frances, on that point, is there something about island life in the winter or, you know, November time that makes this coming together kind of maybe more unique than it was when you went to UT in Austin, I presume, another big football town?
Oh, that's true enough. Well, you know, people imagine that things are grim in the winter, but the fact of the matter is that the winter is generally very lively because during the summer we all work so hard to make all the money that we need for the winter. And once things calm down a little bit, football is big, but so is local theater, local music, all kinds of stuff going on. So I wouldn't say that life is grim in the winter on Nantucket.
Nor on Martha's Vineyard. It's a wonderful time of, as you say, theater, clubs, book clubs. You know, those of us who work are busy working all through the year.
Mm-hmm.
And those on the kind of that aren't lucky enough to have full-time jobs are doing catch as catch can to, you know, try to get by through the winter. But, you know, there's the beauty of the islands in the wintertime. I mean, the light is so exquisite, you know, and the conservation organizations like the Vineyard Conservation Society sponsors walks each month, and you know, you can walk through the woods, you can get healing and vigor from the ocean. It's the winter's an exciting time on the Vineyard.
James Sullivan, let me ask you. You had mentioned that there is, first of all, it's sometimes a challenge to get from island mm-hmm. to island mm-hmm. in the winter. That's one of the obstacles that the teams have to overcome each season. But nevertheless, you had mentioned earlier that there, the story of the coaches at mm-hmm. both Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket are quite compelling ones. Can you tell us a little bit about the men who have carried this rivalry forward for so
sure.
long?
Well, they're sort of two peas in a pod who can't who haven't been able to stand each other for 25 years, and I think that they both knew that it was that they played up to the rivalry for everyone's benefit on both islands. So I mentioned Vito Capizzo earlier. He became the Nantucket coach in the early 1960s, not long after graduating from Alabama. He was born on in Sicily, but grew up in the suburbs of Boston. When he and his wife took the opportunity to move to take a coaching and phys ed teaching job on Nantucket, he thought he was going to Nantasket. He didn't know where Nantucket was at all. That's one of the many legends that surrounds Vito. And he was there for 45 years. And for about 40 of those years, he put together an incredibly overachieving program annually. Almost always the smallest school in Massachusetts to field a football team, and yet a team that went to, I think, 9 state Super Bowl championships in their division over the years and won 3 of them, I believe, if I remember the numbers right. But so, I mean, put together an amazingly overachieving football program until the last few years of his tenure when he I think, was kind of starting to check out, mm-hmm. and then when the football program started to stumble. On the other island, Martha's Vineyard was sort of, for the first couple of decades of the rivalry, 60s and 70s especially, Martha's Vineyard sort of got accustomed to getting beaten up by the other island. And by the late 80s, they were sort of sick and tired of it, and they hired another wash ashore, as they're called, you know, someone who didn't grow up on the island. This is Donald Herman, who remains the coach. He became the coach in 1989. He's been there for, you know, that's 30 years or 20 plus years, rather. And he turned out to be, came from Georgia, great football state, moved to the island because he married a girl from the Vineyard, and he turned out to be sort of the pocket version of Vito, you know, another sort of tyrannical old school football coach who demanded perseverance from his players and ultimately turned out a similar program where in the last couple of decades, Martha's Vineyard has had the kind of success that Nantucket had had for decades prior.
Well, I want to get one quick call in here, if I may. Mara's calling from Hopkinton. You're on the air, Mara.
Yes, hi. My father is a Nantucketer, was a Nantucketer, and he was a quarterback from 1946 to 1949. His name was Frank Fleming. His brother, Tobias Fleming, Toby Fleming, also played for the team. And I grew up with great stories about Nantucket football, and particularly the Vineyard rivalry. And they used to wear leather helmets, I remember that, and he said that they sometimes had to wait through a storm or whatever to get over to play the game, but they always got the game in at the Vineyard.
Mara, why did your father say that, I'm presuming, was the Island Cup or that particular game against the Vineyard his favorite one? Why did it matter to him so much?
Well, it was such a big rivalry, so much so that when I was... So I grew up all my life going to Nantucket, staying with my grandmother in the summer and everything. And when I was 20... I was dating a guy whose family was vacationing on the Vineyard, and I told my dad, I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the Vineyard to visit my boyfriend. And my dad was like, why are you going there? And I said, well, he goes, you don't need to go there. And he just didn't even want me to go there. So I just realized how this rivalry. He just wouldn't even, he didn't want his kids going to the Vineyard. It was very funny.
Mara, thank you so much for your call. James Sullivan, go ahead.
I was just going to say something that I found invariably when I was talking, when I was meeting folks from both islands, guys who had played in the past, families that had had their sons involved in the past, or guys who were coaches now or in the past. Everyone was, without variation, fascinated by what went on the other island, because the only thing that they knew about it was when they went over to play the game. They went straight to the football stadium at the high school and then turned around and got back on a ferry or an airplane, as the case might be, and went home. But everyone wanted to know, what are the people like over there? Are they like us? Are they different than us? What do you see? You know, because they knew that I was following both teams over the course of that season. So it was fascinating. I mean, you know, you would sort of assume there would be more in common than differences. But, you know, both islands, everyone involved would say, I really don't know anything like about what it's like on that other island, and I would love to know.
So the year that you followed both teams, what happened in the Island Cup?
Well, because the Nantucket program had stumbled, that was one of the reasons why the game did not happen in 2009. Everyone was up in arms, so there was some talk about the game not continuing at all. But, in fact, everyone realized, you know what, we've got to keep this game going. Not only did Nantucket come back strong that year, but the game itself, Nantucket had a very solid winning season, not quite at the championship level, but a very good season, and the game itself was astonishingly thrilling. It was just sort of one of those heavyweight classics, you know, one team punches the other, looks like they're down, the other team gets up, punches back. It was really, I mean, the coaches joked all season long, you know, that I was going to be as nervous as they were for the game, because it had to be a good outcome for the book to end well, and it was an amazing, incredible game. So,
well, it's a reason for all us off-islanders to venture out to one of the islands every November. James Sullivan is author of Island Cup, Two Teams, 12 Miles of Ocean, and 50 Years of Football Rivalry. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And Lindsay Lee, oral history curator at the Martha's Vineyard Museum, thank you as well.
Thank you.
And Francis Cartoonan, author of The Other Islanders, People Who Pulled Nantucket's Oars. Pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There's more in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.